What's up, YouTubers? It's your boy, Ian Hunt, out here on live stream. And I just want to say to you that you can be yourself and do whatever you want to do because you're the best you that you've ever been. And follow your dreams. No matter what your dreams are, follow them. Wherever they go, get right up behind them and follow them into the future because you should never cut yourself and be sad because I love you and I'm your boyfriend, I'm everybody's boyfriend. And so come see me perform at the Lakeview Square Mall this Tuesday at 6 p.m. I'll be taking selfies and telling you to always do yourself to be you.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I love Ian so much. He just really inspires me to be positive. Like, I don't know what it is about him, but like every time I see his face, I just feel like life can be better because my stepdad hit me in the head with a 2x4 and I can't recognize faces anymore, but like every time I watch Ian's videos, I'm like, oh my God, there is life to live and I will be positive and I'm really happy. Welcome to Suicide Pact,
everybody. Welcome to Suicide Pact, everybody.
We drank some bad cold brew.
Mm-hmm. And we watched a movie called Jawline, mm-hmm. which is on Hulu.
Jawline.
And it's about social media celebrities.
Have you heard about these people?
They're usually hairless boys between the age of 16 and 22.
Yeah.
And they have giant pompadours for some reason. They have these giant...
Those are coming back.
...floppy haircuts. And they look into a fucking webcam and tell you to be yourself. And that's about it.
I love being told to be positive by a skinny little 16-year-old that's never lived a life at all.
Right. Telling you to follow your dream. Well, I mean, here's the thing. They do nothing, mm-hmm. right? So these kids who have millions of followers and go on tour where the entire tour is just a meet and greet, you know? Yeah. They just shake hands and give hugs and tell people to be positive. They have to say something.
Yeah.
They can't just be on screen looking cute.
Right.
They've got to say something. So they go with the be positive message so that these little girls who are obsessed with them, so their parents aren't like, you know, anti. They can't be swearing or
smoking
controversial.
Cigarettes and.
Even though the whole thing is hypersexual. Like these little boys are super hypersexual to these girls. They're all, you know.
They kiss them on the mouth.
Yeah.
At these meet and greets. They'll be like, can I kiss you?
Right.
Can I kiss your lips? And they do it.
So they go with the be positive message. And it's like back in the day when the Jonas Brothers were. Was it the Jonas Brothers? They all had purity rings on.
Yeah.
And it's like, we never have sex, but really,
it's like,
the whole thing is sex.
Yeah, it's
for
just,
children.
It's like they're pulling their pants down a little bit, like, ooh, shh.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tease. That's what I'm saying.
Right. So they go with the be positive message. And it also gives something for the little girls who are the fans to parody back when they're interviewed or, you know, when their parents come to them and like, why do you like this little boy? It's because he teaches me
be positive.
To be myself. And
he told me to be positive.
And follow my dreams.
Stop. Don't look at me.
Because they can't say like, I can't.
It tingles.
Yeah.
It tingles when
you
I
can
look
say
at
it. But it was, that movie is disturbing.
Oh, it's a post-apocalyptic horror film. It's so fucking crazy. You don't know who to, you feel bad for the girls who obsess over them. You feel bad for the boys who are exploited. You feel bad for the parents, particularly this one dad who's with his daughter at one of these like events. He looks like his soul has been sucked out.
Yeah.
There's nothing behind his eyes. He looks like he's gonna cry. He's like, I love my daughter, but what's going on here?
Because when we were kids, they at least pretended to sing.
Yeah.
Like the boy bands danced around.
NSYNC was like a barbershop quartet that now in retrospect had so much talent.
Back in the day, everybody, all the parents were like, these kids are talentless.
Yeah.
This is dog shit. But now that's even more true. They realize that like, why, we can just get rid of the middleman. We don't have to bring in a choreographer and a vocal coach. We can just have these kids grin at the camera, like dab in front of a Walmart in a Pikachu onesie.
I know. And they're like, what? It's sad how susceptible you are to that when you're young, too. Because, like, I remember I'd love to say that I was one of those, like, cool, hip kids. But I'm not. I was a child. So I loved Spice Girls. I loved NSYNC. I wasn't, like, actually, have you guys heard of Black Flag? Like, I was listening to what everybody else was listening
sure.
to. And so you, as an adult, are like, what are you guys fucking thinking? And it's like, no, that's what all your friends are doing. And for what, it's like they're dictating to you, like, this is popular. You'll eat it up. And you're like, okay, thank you. Musically, blows my mind. People just, like, lip sync karaoke for a couple seconds.
Yeah, I get it. I get what's...
Why?
Because, I mean, it's what we're talking about. Everything's been distilled down to preteen sexuality.
Okay.
So it's, you don't have to have anything extra. So if you play a sexy song and have a little boy, you know, lick his lips to
and,
it.
And, like, touch his heart.
Yeah, yeah. You go, oh, my God. I'm overwhelmed with emotion and horniness.
Yeah.
I got to get to this meet and greet. I got to buy these t-shirts, this merch. It's disturbing. You know what's even more disturbing about it is that it kind of bleeds into other industries. So there are, for example, stand-up comedians who just are
never
these boys.
Heard of them.
And you can watch, like, I sent you one recently, this YouTube kid who's now a alleged stand-up comedian.
It makes me so sad. It's like, you don't have to do that. Just stay and do what you're doing.
And you watch his videos and there's no jokes, but this kid's a fucking millionaire.
And people are laughing.
Yeah, and he just has, I mean, he's the squarest jawline of all time.
Yeah.
And, like, twinkly eyes.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is
And he talks like kinda,
us.
It's like that Justin Bieber thing. It's like, why do you talk like that? First of all,
yeah.
You're Canadian.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's always a little black.
Yeah.
And this particular kid that I'm thinking of, like, lets it slip that he's from Ohio.
Mm.
And it's like, why do you sound like you're from Compton?
Yeah, why do you do that? Yeah, I mean, it's clearly a, I don't know. Listen, I don't know anything about it.
And it's
life,
all the hand movements, too, because everything is designed to look good on a phone.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of, like, weird hand movements. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
this
gesturing.
It all feels like a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
Where everything now is catered to short attention spans and, like, what looks good on a cell phone camera, like plastic surgery, too. I watched a plastic surgery documentary on my own because I knew you would hate that shit.
Thank you.
And it's so fucked up. People get the same lips, the same cheeks, the same, like, busted nose.
That looks good on a screen.
Yeah. And then you see them in real life in 3D and you're just like, ah.
Yeah, like the Kardashians, the original Kardashians, they're shaped like cubes.
Yeah.
They're low to the ground
and
they go out. It doesn't make any sense. They're disgusting looking.
I didn't know this. Kim Kardashian is like 5'0".
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
That's
it's
gross.
Just all, and her waist goes in really far and then everything else like explodes outward.
How do you put that much stuff in your ass?
You just gotta want it.
It's just willpower,
right.
I guess. I don't, but like, if don't you think it's so dangerous to have more volume, more synthetic shit in your ass than you have, like, biological material,
sure.
than, like, muscle and fat?
I always think about people in the future who are gonna discover these skeletons with just, like, extra shit tacked on, you know?
You think that's gonna, stay on your skeleton?
I don't think
your butt implants?
Maybe it's just like your skeleton and then next to it is a giant plastic ass. Because it's not going to deteriorate.
What are we putting in our asses, folks? Is it...
Mostly just beads and
is it
sometimes drugs.
Is
That's
it
as far as I've gone.
Is it a... like implants the way you get breast implants? Or is it just like gel... I don't, like, filler.
I don't know.
What are we pumping in there? This may be a really ignorant question, but I truly have no idea.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
It's that, they take a caulking gun with the liquid meat from Taco Bell.
They genuinely do shit like that. Like,
yeah, that's
put,
like that black market shit,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, you go to a motel and some woman who, like, watched one YouTube video.
Puts, like, super glue in your ass.
Yeah.
And then your ass rots off. And guess what? You deserve it.
Yeah, sorry, but kind of. Yeah, I we've talked about this already, but I watched some, like, probably horrible. It was a TLC. I'm addicted to getting my ass blown up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman was doing that, and she had kids and stuff. And it's like, and the doctor was like, "You're gonna die."
If that's the actual title, just like TLC's given up. It's just like. TLC, I'm addicted to having my ass blown up, dot, dot, or whatever.
Or whatever.
Just watch it, you idiot.
You pixelate it, yeah. No matter what. It's very sad. You know what I'm stupidly proud of? I'm insecure about, like, every single part of myself, except my ass, which is very small, like, basically non-existent. I just don't care. Who cares? I can't see it, so I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know it's... there's not much like going on back there. Thank you. That's all I was going for.
I had another point to make about these YouTube kids, but now I can't. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Business people know this. In the entertainment business, they know this. The arbiters of like what is popular are preteen girls.
Yeah.
So like, especially
and
if you want
to
make...
that's always been the case from Elvis to today.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but they're... their horniness affects the weather.
Well, because I think they feel things so intensely and then they demand to have the thing they love. So, or to see the thing they love.
Yeah.
So they will climb up inside of their parents' asshole and like, I mean, they will, I'm going to sit in my room and fucking cut myself. You don't let me go see, you know.
Yeah.
Little poopy pants or whatever.
Little poopy pants, honestly, is probably a SoundCloud rapper. Mm-hmm.
That's what we got. This podcast has to start appealing to little girls.
Oh no!
You know,
what do you? Why? How? How?
Because
are we
then it becomes
very
popular.
No, sorry, I know why, but how do you propose we do that?
I don't know. I got to start plucking my eyebrows. I guess if that documentary is any
get them threaded.
Indication. Yeah,
which looks painful.
Start
and
wearing
weird.
Blush.
Yeah. Oh, man. They're wearing so much makeup, too. And some of them, you see it. Some of them, you're like, yeah, you have a very pretty face. I get it. And then some of them just look like some doofus that they pulled out of anywhere Pennsylvania. And you're like, why is this guy? What is it about this idiot? There's no rhyme or reason to any of this.
Do you think part of the appeal is that these little girls think they're discovering these boys?
Yeah, when they're underground, I think there's this one guy, his name's Austin Tester, and he does have mashed potatoes for brains.
Yeah.
He does have a disease.
Their names are always very soft like that.
A mental illness. Cameron or Austin.
Yeah, Cameron Poof. Or like Aiden Stardust.
Whisper.
Aiden Whisper.
They
never have a dad.
Yes. We talked about this. They always live with single moms and sisters.
Yeah.
Because if you had a dad, he'd be like, the fuck are you doing in there? They're shirt off talking to yourself.
I think it's because from a young age, they're like their parents or their mom and their sister are like putting makeup on them and dressing and being like, you look so pretty. You look so nice. And that becomes their identity.
Yeah.
And then,
and they're not like, well, I don't know. I would say some of them do seem like they're probably gay. And then some of them just seem like feminized, but almost asexual, where it's like girls are obsessed with them and they like that, but they're kind of robotic. Like,
yeah, some of them are very Christian, I've noticed too.
Oh, weird. It's also weird when it comes to music. We were talking about like little poop or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Little peep. I read or I heard somewhere that there's something called, I forget what it's called, some kind of phobia about young people where you believe every time you get old, you believe that the younger generation's like everything.
Yeah, we talked about this in the last podcast.
The last one?
Did we?
I think we were talking about
something
else. That the younger generation's like, they're, what they consume like pop culturally is less than what you did. And the somehow... the only thing that's consistently proven to be accurate for is music.
You're saying that music, you can prove...
pop music.
...has gotten worse every generation.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, that's true.
And then I had a point, and now I don't remember.
And that, were you going to say that everything else in society gets better?
Well, now I don't know, because how can we get worse than this shit where...
I think I know how.
How?
Okay. So the next wave, right? Not even people.
Oh.
Robot.
Yeah,
like
little Michaela.
Yeah. CGI people that real people fall in love with. So you got a team of programmers that make the perfect 16-year-old boy, the prettiest 16-year-old boy, and maybe for a while it's just on the internet, and eventually you can throw on VR goggles and actually interact with, you can date this virtual boy.
Oh man, you know what? I'm scared to have this conversation because when we're like 80, it's going to take a long time, but when we're 80, this is going to sound so...
archaic, like
backwards. Like,
you watch those old videos.
How could you possibly fall in love? It's not real.
Yeah, it's gonna sound racist.
Yeah,
you watch those videos of like the host of the Today Show being like, "So it's called the internet. Now, what is that little A symbol with the circle around it? What does that mean?"
John Stossel. That sounds like something John Stossel would do.
Yeah.
So it's called the internet.
Can I
don't care for it.
Look at feet on it?
2 tickets to Thailand, please. We know what you're up to.
Yeah, fucking John Stossel.
Yeah, I haven't even called him a fucking butt weasel in a while. I would love to have him on the show.
Me too. Anyway. I'll kick him right in his fucking nuts.
John Stossel, come on the show so we can beat the shit out of you.
You fucking coward.
Yo, call me John Stossel. Stop hiding. I watched, this reminds me, I watched Her last week, and I've seen it before,
okay,
and I was kind of ambivalent about it,
uh-huh,
but I rewatched it, and it's so good. I really loved it.
It's heartbreaking.
I know, it made me cry a lot, but the exploration of, like, falling in love with an AI and how they really present that to you in a way that...
That you can see how...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that shit already happens, you know? I don't know so much... I don't know if it's so much falling in love with an AI, but there's definitely, like, people falling in love in Second Life and stuff where there's, like, an extreme disconnect. Like, you're pretending like you're falling in love with a real person, but that barrier of not being in the same room and being confronted with not a real person, but a
Your
virtual...
giant melon-boobed...
Yeah, cat.
BDSM cat.
Right. Some of the funniest shit on the internet that you and I love to watch is that guy who goes into Second Life and fucks with people.
That is so funny. If you guys...
Esteban, is that his name?
Esteban or something. Other people do it, and it's funny as well. Anybody who trolls people on Second Life.
Yeah.
So funny because people take that so seriously, and you can hear in their voices that they are morbidly obese.
Right. You'll see like a woman... like a biker woman with like a teeny tiny waist and huge tits, a virtual woman.
She's like, get out of my house. Get out. This is my this is private property and I'm the manager here. Get out. And
they start, I'm going to kick your ass. And it's like, you can't kick anybody's ass. You're in a virtual world.
You can hear parakeets in the background.
Yeah. All their ferrets rustling around.
I know.
Piles of garbage.
Imagine living that way, like you're a child and you're parents on Second Life, like they sound like adult people, like in their 40s and 50s. I don't know that they have children, but it's some of them must. It's like those people spend hours and hours and hours on Second Life. What a sad way to exploit.
And that's not even a game with an objective.
I know.
You know, I was just watching a documentary on League of Legends, which is that like the most popular like video game, I guess, sports game. That's not what it's called. But you know what I'm talking about? Like
no
where
idea
they go to an arena and they play the game on a giant screen and everybody goes nuts.
Yeah.
What is that called?
Oh, I don't know.
Is it called like virtual sports or something? Because it's not a sports game. Yeah. You're like wizards and shit. But
I don't know.
But anyway, at least in that game, you can compete and there's an objective and you're making money. But this is just a game where you turn yourself into a My Little Pony and go.
You're so sad with your own life that you just go live a different one on.
I mean, when you phrase it like that, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah. If the graphics were better, I think I'd be able to do that.
They will be
soon. Start a new family on Second Life.
All this, like, you know, all those old cyberpunk novels about tapping into a virtual world is, I mean, it's right on the horizon. It's going to happen.
And
it's so weird to think about that. It's like, well, why am I even living this life now if things are going to change so drastically? It seems like you're developing skills to live in the current, like, analog world, and eventually none of this is going to matter. You know, going and doing crunches or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, you're like, no, you can just buy your hotness on virtual life or whatever it's called. Virtual And then someday we're going to have the argument, like us, but I don't know if we're still on this side of why the real world is any better than the virtual world and what's the difference. And we'll have to be like, I don't know. It's just we were born like this and it should stay that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all going to happen all at once. We're going to have to change our thoughts on everything. And the younger generations won't have ever experienced this life. They'll always have been in second life.
Imagine more of a disconnect than that. Like, my grandpa was born in 1921, and we cannot have a conversation. He's just like, who are you going around with nowadays? And I'm like, I don't understand you, okay? And imagine being like, grandma was born in the real world where it gets cold and you have to
feel pain,
cook your own food. Yeah.
I think about this a lot. In the future, when we're all plugged in and probably at some point become immortal, I think that'll happen someday.
No,
yeah, you always
said
I
want to
be
that.
Immortal.
Okay, for this whole podcast is about how we want to kill ourselves, and yeah. I feel like
no, I always want that option.
You're backing out.
I want to be a vampire. I always wonder what vampire rules are. Can I kill myself?
Can you kill yourself if you become a vampire?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Why not? You can kill. You can die
immortal.
With a stake in the heart.
Oh.
So why can't I just eat a bunch of cloves of garlic, walk out into the sun? Sure. You can kill yourself if you're a vampire.
Okay.
Anyway, can I make my point?
Okay, I'm sorry, babe. We should ask the vampire.
That made me sound very abusive just then.
Wait, I mean, oh, you know what's even more abusive? Gaslighting.
No, I'm saying that exchange.
Oh, I thought you said I made you sound abusive.
No. Sometimes I listen to this podcast, I'm like, oh boy, some of these jokes are not being broadcast well.
They sound very sincere.
Yeah.
Well, now you guys know this is like one of the, like I talked about in the last episode where we may have cut this out when we edited it, but there's a Japanese woman who eats food online, and then people thought that she was like
kidnapped,
giving SOS, like doing Morse code and SOS with her. So that's what I'm doing. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm being kidnapped. Help
what
me.
What is that voice?
Oh, I didn't think you'd be able to hear that.
Oh.
I thought I was speaking in code. Okay. Carry on. I'm being
kidnapped. Your code
help
is just
me. Help
a deaf
me.
Woman.
I'm being kidnapped. It's not a deaf woman.
Yes, it is.
I'm being kidnapped.
Okay, if it's not
it's
a deaf
not
woman,
a deaf
it's
woman.
More offensive than that.
No.
Yeah.
It's nobody with any kind of...
No kind of disabilities whatsoever?
No disability. And being deaf is not a disability. I think we should all be deaf.
Wow. So, hot take.
Did you see that? I mean, I'm sorry to railroad this conversation, but did you see that?
I did.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
A deaf guy... What did...
A deaf guy was going after moms who give cochlear implants to infants, saying that they don't understand. It's what is
they
it? Ableist.
They don't have the option to choose whether they
right,
want to hear.
They can't consent.
Whether they want to hear or not.
Guess what? A baby also can't consent to get its diaper changed. So we let it walk around in its own shit till it's 18.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, look, we make decisions for a better life
or be fed
for our children.
Yeah.
Like, for example, we aborted ours.
Yeah. No, that's a joke, Dad. It didn't happen.
Yeah, it's a joke to Catherine's dad, to everybody else.
No,
it's reporting.
It didn't happen.
No, Catherine lays eggs.
That's true.
Anyway, can I make my point?
Sure.
My point was, I think in the future, when we're immortal and we're all plugged into the fucking, you know, Tron, people will tell stories about a time when people felt pain. And try to explain that to each other. Mm-hmm. Discomfort, illness, death. It'll be difficult for people who've never experienced those abstract ideas to grasp, you know,
it's
those concepts.
It's going to seem like a hellscape.
Yeah.
Like, terrifying. And like, the way we think of, I don't know,
like torture victims or...
Organ, well, I guess medieval times, you know, where it's like they had no... dental care or no hygiene. Everyone was dropping dead of the plague.
Yeah, but it's even more intense
no,
than
of course.
That.
Yeah,
because,
I know.
Because you'll have to explain to somebody like, no, everybody experienced this. Everybody had.
Yeah.
But there's no point of reference either. It's like explaining the color blue to a blind person.
Right. Explaining pain to somebody who's never felt pain before.
But if you stop feeling pain in any capacity, like emotional pain as well, do you stop? Do you cease to be human?
Yes,
also,
absolutely.
Do you stop living? Like, why would you live? Because you need something to compare joy to. You just become a robot.
Guys, believe it or not, we are not high right now. And I'm very...
Oh, you're not high?
Oh, I'm very into this conversation. It's exactly like Brave New World, right? They're all like doped up all the time?
Not exactly, because even in that world, they experience some level of discomfort. They're still living. They still understand. I can't remember if people die. No, they don't. Like
they don't die?
I think the like upper class, they at least stay young for their entire lives. Oh. Maybe they do die eventually, but you have to go down into the trenches, into like the wild lands or whatever, to experience aging and discomfort and pain and sickness and death, I think.
So this does sound exactly like what you're saying.
Yeah, but even in that world, if you go to work and
you can have a bad day.
Yeah, or you walk a great distance and your feet ache a little bit.
Right.
You would have, in this world I'm dreaming up, I have to explain to you what it means to step on a pebble with your bare feet. Just that level of discomfort.
Wait, but aren't they constantly taking Soma, which like will, you can't have a bad day. Like they don't, they're like
Soma like puts you to sleep, doesn't it?
I thought it's like pure euphoria.
Yeah, I
like,
think
you're
right.
Just doped up.
Right.
I don't know, but you're right. I don't.
Soma exists too. Mm-hmm. It's like a real drug you can take. I saw it on some Vice thing.
Doesn't that Limitless drug exist too, in a certain form? I don't know.
Does it?
I don't think so.
Me either. I think everybody would be taking that. You should be embarrassed for that. We live in the in-between times where either everything's going to become amazing and we're all going to get to be robots and live forever, or it's all going to go to shit and we're going to live in a police state. And, you know, we'll be spied on all the time and all of our privacy is going to be exposed to the world, which is what's actually going to happen.
Oh, hey, guys, guess what YouTube videos Ian was watching before we recorded this?
Don't tell him my private business.
Eddie Snowden interviews.
Eddie Snowden.
My buddy Eddie Snowden.
Yeah. I was watching. Man.
There was an Onion article recently that said Edward Snowden snuck back into the country to go to Busch Gardens and then immediately left before he was caught. It's him on a roller coaster.
That's so great. They chose Busch Gardens. Sucks.
I know.
Ass.
I know. I've never been to Busch Gardens, but is that the one where they have like Colonial Williams? Is it in Colonial Williamsburg?
I don't think so. I think it's just like a
churn butter there.
It's just like a fucking third rate amusement park. It's like, you know, you got your Disney Worlds and your Cedar Points and stuff.
Six Flags.
And way down the list is Busch Gardens, and they have like two roller coasters.
This week on Kill Yourself, Busch Gardens.
Yeah.
The CEO of Busch Gardens.
The Busch Twins.
Kill yourselves by running into each other headlong and smashing your heads together. Can you imagine if that's how the Busch Twins killed themselves?
Right.
Just imagine it live on the Today Show. Okay.
Or they might fuse together and become one super retard. You know what I mean? I think twins can do that.
The Busch twins certainly can. They have the money for it.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, we had an amusement park called Knoebels.
Huh?
It was a shitty little amusement park called Knoebels. I think somebody died there last year. The mascot was like a giant woodchuck.
What did it? What kind of rides?
It was like a glorified carnival, like small town carnival.
See, I like that. That sounds fun. Unless you travel to go there.
Some people do.
Then you're like, boo.
Maybe I'm remembering it worse than it was, but I do remember going on like a tilt-a-whirl thing, and then my friend, who's also named Catherine, threw up soup everywhere. We all ran away from her. Kids are so mean.
Yeah.
You remember that? Like, somebody's sick. Yeah,
AIDS.
We were like, ew. And then you never let her forget it forever. You don't hang out with her for the rest of the day.
Right. I hope she's dead.
Yeah.
I love a good carnival, though, because it's like, it's not necessarily entertaining, but it's like that, you know, it's like Coney Island, where the whole time you're like, all right, this is fun but also kind of scary. I feel like I'm gonna get hepatitis if I touch anything.
Yeah.
That little like element of danger.
And there's
great.
A beautiful, like, you can really revel in the shitty Americana aspect of it. There's a carnival that happens every year in my hometown. I just hope that there are some people who know what I'm talking about. That would be so cool. The West End Fair, which is just, oh baby, the dregs of the earth. I'm included. There's a joke that's like, what's a mile long and has four teeth? The funnel cake line at the West End Fair. There's a demolition derby that's hell just yeah. like junk cars that people paid $50 for that they spray paint, and you're just sitting in this arena of fumes.
It's so fucking fun.
It's great.
Yeah, we used to have a rodeo at ours.
Ooh.
It was great.
Everyone wears camo too.
Yeah.
Everyone's wearing camo.
It's because they come from hunting. Like yeah. they actually, you know, they're out there doing it.
Yeah.
Getting deer. Getting ducks.
In my hometown, we would have off every year for the first day of hunting season.
That's crazy.
I know.
It's weird to me that because I had never heard of such a thing, and the fucking Michigan flag has deer on it.
Yeah, I mean,
we're
imagine
like the deer
that,
state.
That you guys did the same thing. Maybe some places in Michigan.
Although, yeah, you know, I wasn't from like a particularly rural area.
Yeah.
I mean, we had them surrounding our town, but I didn't know too many people that were hunters.
We had a hunter once come, like, because I lived in the woods. We had a hunter kind of wander nearly into our backyard, like, who was like
Christ.
Stalking a deer with a gun. Remember my
That's
dad?
That's terrifying.
I wasn't there. It was like while we were one morning while we were at school, but my mom told me my dad went out on the deck and just freaked the fuck out.
Oh, I bet.
Just like in his underwear, I think. Just like, get the fuck out
well,
of my
Well, imagine
yard.
If you and your, you know,
yeah.
brother and sister
like
out there fucking around
three children.
Playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like when you're a kid, you go into the woods.
Right.
You don't just hang out on the perimeter.
Yeah, you just get shot in the head. He hears a twig break and he just like shoots. I'm sure
if you were wearing your famous antlers
yeah.
that you wear everywhere.
Yeah. I used to LARP as a deer.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been me. So that's that saga of my
that's
life.
That's that riff.
So that's that one.
Oh, have we been doing an hour yet?
Yeah, we did 4 hours, I think. We did 4 hours. What do you guys do to fill time? This? Listen to this?
Yeah, till you're dead.
How do we, yeah, how do we fill
time? How do we fill time? How do you, write in.
How do you?
Write, reply in the comments. How do you fill time till you're dead?
Right.
You know what I've been doing to fill my days lately is I've just been looking through Netflix 4 hours and then going to bed.
Not choosing anything?
I close, I'm like, this all sucks. I close Netflix and then I open Hulu. Hulu is worse. Then I go to HBO.
Yeah.
And then I close that, and then I Google what's the best thing to watch on Netflix, and then I scroll through that, and I say, no, boo, no.
The amount
and
of
then I go to bed.
Content is incredible, and the amount of consumable content is abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
What are we watching? Okay, actually tell us, because we don't have anything to do until we die.
We could write new material
for
the stage.
Ian, could
the
we,
stage and screen.
Could we work harder on our dreams?
No.
It's been so difficult to like, if you listener say you have a passion that you really want to pursue. It's so hard to have discipline outside of school, I think. I did really well in college because I was like, okay, we got deadlines, we got assignments, I know what I need to do and when I need to do it. And so I thought I was like a driven person. But as soon as I was on my own, like as an adult, my own free will, I was like, well, I could write.
Well, I mean, you can make those deadlines for yourself. That's why when I first started doing roast, that's why I
no respect for myself.
No, but no.
So like of my own authority.
No, you can
like,
set up, you can schedule things in the future that you have to. You have to accomplish something. Like if you have a roast, you have to write those, whatever, 15 jokes, mm-hmm. whatever. If you have a show where you're required to do a half hour, you better start fucking planning and figuring out how you're going to fill that time. And if you can raise the stakes and have it be a show where you know that maybe popular comedians you like are going to be there or management's going to be there. Now these deadlines suddenly are in place and you have to, you know, accomplish something. But I mean, that's so fucking hard to do because you can do it with roasting because it's easy to schedule a roast because, you know, every club in the city is trying to profit off of open micers calling each other, you know, gay.
Yeah.
But those other examples I gave are more difficult to actually book yourself on a really substantial show and then show up for it. So what you're basically doing
just
is
book
like
yourself an SNL audition and then work on all your characters and monologues and stuff.
Right.
Just do that.
But so it's very hard to sit around and be like, oh, okay, I have a bar show next week. I'll just do my same shit.
Yeah.
I have a fucking open mic to go to tonight. Maybe I'll think of something.
Years go by real fast. One day you wake up and you're like, fuck, I've been asleep at the wheel for a while.
And you're like, boy, that President Obama, huh? And everybody's like, what?
The Lorax.
The Lorax.
That was a film, right?
Yeah. It was a book first.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
So like a pretentious guy.
I
actually read the book.
I prefer the book. I prefer the book version of the Lorax, actually. That's just me. But
the film just had less depth. I mean, because I read the book.
That's a good one. There we go. See,
yeah,
we get there. We get there.
I'll do that tonight on stage. Or you can do it. I don't
know. No, that's
it.
Yours. I think if we go
back. Oh, thanks. It's stupid.
I think it's good. I think it's funny. See, you throw away things too easily. I think that's genuinely funny. That reminds me of the Zach Galifianakis pretentious illiterate guy.
What is his
character is a pretentious illiterate guy, and he goes, I told you, I can't read. I mean, he does it way better.
He does another one where he goes, a guy who's really into the new Garfield movie. Have you guys seen the new Garfield movie? Oh, Odie's up to his old tricks.
And that's it.
That's it.
Somehow.
I mean, that whole special is just moments like that where with his face and the piano playing, it just is
works.
Funny.
It
but
just,
when we try to do it.
Yeah, it's real bad.
We got to talk about pedophiles, too.
I know.
We really got to work.
Yeah.
We don't have that charm.
We don't. Yeah, we're not quote unquote funny.
Yeah, we're not quote unquote likable, fun to hang out with.
We're not particularly nice.
Here's something. Speaking of,
yeah.
Here's something I feel comfortable saying because I don't think this person will ever listen to our podcast.
Oh,
but we were.
Please don't do this.
What?
I'm scared.
Do you know what I'm
saying? No.
We were talking to a comedian recently, and I was saying how I am uncomfortable in social situations, and I'm usually standoffish,
mm-hmm.
and I don't talk very often, and then people think that that's me being mean or that I don't like people or I think I'm better than people, but really I'm just like having anxiety.
Yeah.
And just the way that my face is shaped, people think that I'm hateful. And she goes, and this person who I'm spilling my guts to goes, yeah, you have a ghoulish face. Ghoulish. Ghoulish. I had to be Yeah. I just agreed. I was like, oh, yeah. Like a ghoul has, I don't even know what a ghoul is.
It's so underused. It's such a hilarious word. And I had to talk to you afterwards like, hey, she didn't mean that. Like a ghoul.
It was so
like
shocking. I was just like, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
I think she meant like brooding or like scary, even though I don't think.
Scary. You're not making me feel better.
I'm
but
sorry. Ghoulish, though.
You know, like a mutant from like a 50s movie. You know, like a ghoul, like you live in the muck, like you live under a bed, like you have webbed fingers and feet, you have fangs and a pug nose.
It was so hard to like juggle that and be like, no, here's what I think she meant, because I really don't, I know that she didn't mean,
it was just so specific and like.
That was great. Whoops. Yeah, sometimes you just say things and you can't take it back and you really don't. I've done that a million times.
Well, it seemed like she had that chambered from the, you know, the moment we walked in.
I don't know.
That just popped into her mind. This guy looks like a goddamn ghoul.
I'm sure.
Who invited this ghoul
over? No. God damn it. Why is my brain fucking broken? I had something ready to go and I'm sure it's not that good. Maybe this happens in everyday life, like no matter what you do, but I only know this through comedy, is like everyone is so sensitive and they are just ready to turn on you at any moment. you know? Mm-hmm. Not that it's not fucked up to call somebody a ghoul.
You think this person was ready to turn on
me? No, not at all. Not at all. It's just sometimes stuff comes out of your mouth or you interact with somebody weird and you take a misstep. And I feel like, especially in comedy, people will just write you off forever.
Right. Oh, like, yeah. I've probably done that. I'm not doing that with this person
because
I genuinely thought that was so fucking funny to say to somebody.
She's great. And I know she didn't mean it. But like, yeah, there are people I've made weird eye contact with at open mics. And I'm like, well, we're enemies forever.
Sure.
I know that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think everybody thinks that about me for the reason I just said.
Exactly. I think that has happened to you more than most people.
I've been in situations, I know you've said to me before that you've gotten off stage, and you know, the move, especially if you do well, is to kind of give the comedian coming off the stage like a fist bump or like a, you know, high five or something.
Yeah, I've gotten snubbed and I've written it in my diary.
Dude, I snub everybody.
Why?
Because I get in my head, I'm like, should I do it? I don't really know this person. That would, they're gone. They're halfway across the room.
Start doing it.
Well, I do. I try to, but like I get into my head
and
I'm like,
pat him on the shoulder real quick as you're walking up.
It's exactly what you're saying.
Great job.
They're holding holding a grudge forever.
Yeah.
Well, just that goddamn ghoul won't even reach out and fist bump me with his fucking claws. His hooves.
Well, there's nowhere to go but up, right? So just start doing it.
Yeah, I do try to do it. But sometimes I have this thought like, I don't know this person, are they gonna think it's weird that I'm you know?
Well, you gotta get that thing out of your head. You got like that's only working against you.
I know all this.
Okay,
wow.
Look at me trying to help.
I'm just telling you that I think that I have made some enemies for life in situations where I was just like socially uncomfortable for a second. And they're just like, oh, fuck, I blew it.
It sucks so bad that you can't go back to every person you've interacted with and been like, hey, here's actually what was going on in my head. And I know it doesn't seem like that at all, based on context clues, but I was just nervous or I was thinking about something else. Like, I know I've been scowling during other people's sets before, and I wonder if they've noticed and have been like, no, I just had like a really fucked up day and I started thinking about it too much and I kind of zoned out. My bad.
Right. I've watched 6 hours of comedy today and I got in my own brain while you were on stage.
Yeah.
I wasn't even fucking paying attention to you. But comedy is very unique in that way because your social social circle is the same as your coworkers.
Yeah.
So you're drunk, you're out with people, you have feuds with people. It's always so tense all the time. Your entire life is every social interaction is so tense.
Shitting and eating the shit and shitting out the digestive shit. Forever and ever.
Right.
It's bad.
So what have we learned? We need to become Instagram models.
Okay, yeah.
Boy models.
We need to become little boy Instagram models.
That's what you could do it.
Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Chance Windowpane, and I'm here to tell you life's worth living if you got two tiny little nipples like I do.
Do it blacker.
Yo, what's up? What's up, guys?
That's pretty good.
That is white child trying to be like hip-hop kid.
Yo, what's good, y'all?
Yo, what's up? I just want to tell y'all, like, I've been going through some stuff lately, and like I came out the other side like a much better person, and I just think that you guys just keep your head up and
that is amazing. That is fucking amazing. Fuck, we did a whole sketch, a series called Insta Boys.
Oh yeah, seriously, check that out. We should, you know what? We should put some clips of that on this on the old Instagram.
Yeah, we should. But now I'm thinking you should have been one of the Insta Boys.
Oh, that would have been great, dude. We should reboot Insta Boys.
We should bring it back.
A little Dirt Stash one. I'll be named Little Dirt Stash.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that for Halloween.
Even being a little. That implies some kind of talent, you know? You got to at least rap. These kids don't even fucking do that.
I could rap.
They jump around on screen. That's what I'm saying. You can't. We're talking about kids who are just
hot. Yeah, they're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially this guy, Austin, who I really have a soft spot for. I want you guys to watch this documentary. I know we say this every time, but this one is wild. And it's just, it's confusing. And you're like, do I hate him? Do I love him? Because he lives in
poverty.
He lives in a house full of kittens, a house full of feral kittens, with just his mom and his brother, and they just go down the watering hole and work at Kohl's or whatever, and they
no, he works at like the Salvation Army or something.
Oh gosh. Yeah, he's a
But this is his like his ticket out of town.
Inspirational.
Like, this is his, yeah, and he works his way. I mean, he's very dumb, but he figures out a way to go on tour with a lot of these more famous. I don't even know what you call them because they're not social media. They started out as like Instagram kids, but now it seems to be more live streaming oriented, where yeah. they just answer questions until they like blast light on their faces, so they have no flaws whatsoever. And then they just answer questions from preteens.
They're like, if you were my boyfriend, where would you take me on a date? Like, oh, you can hop on my pegs and I could take you to Pizza Hut. I don't know. Where do 16-year-olds go?
They don't go anywhere anymore.
We could go to the mall. We could get Aunt Julius's and go to Lids. Lids is dope.
No, just playing, dog.
Wow, 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's enough.
That's
all
a
right,
long time.
Let's
huh?
do plugs real fast.
Plugs. Oh, I'm going to be at New York Comedy Club this Saturday, the 26th at 6, I think. I have to double check that's correct. I guess it's like an early show.
Just go to their webpage, right?
Yeah, 6, and then the early show and the late show. 11:45 is when I'm going up. Oh, and I think I'm going to be in Bushwick somewhere at 8. I don't know. I got a busy Saturday. I don't know. You guys figure it out. I don't have a website. I'll
put it on Instagram.
Yeah, I'll put it on Instagram.
Cat okay. ZD mm-hmm. on Instagram. Like and that. On Friday, I'm having a Halloween party at Stand Up New York. Doors are at 8 p.m.
Fun.
Show's at 9 p.m. We got a band. We got a DJ. We got drink specials. We got a full comedy show. We got a costume contest with amazing prizes.
I'm wearing a wig.
Catherine's wearing a
so
wig.
So excited.
Be there. Anything else? If you want tickets, go to my Instagram bio, Ian Hunt Comic, or you can go to my Twitter, iHunt. That's it.
Okay. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. Bye.